I expect to many of you that that reading is pretty familiar stuff. It's odd, so it sticks in the memory. And also, we read it every year at Pentecost. The disciples were all together on their feast of Pentecost, 50 days after the Sabbath of Passover week. It was a Jewish festival in its own right, and it was traditionally seen as the day on which Moses received the law from God. That was the setting, a Jewish festival, that the new law day, if you like, on which God now chose to do something radically different. There was this wonderful outpouring of the Spirit on the disciples gathered there, and we see that it's no longer, the outpouring of the Spirit is no longer just an experience for prophets, priests, and kings. It's for all those who were followers of Christ. And it was no longer just so that a particular task could be completed, as it sometimes had been. This was a filling of the Spirit that was going to last the disciples the rest of their lives. And you know the rest. Suddenly the disciples are speaking in languages of all those people gathered there in Jerusalem, and they're not babbling, they're declaring the wonders of God. It's great stuff. Wonderful stuff, but we should always ask the question of any scripture we read, so what? Why does this matter to us today? Now, one of the things that lockdown has forced us to consider is what it means to be a local church. What's our role? How should we go about our business? This scripture matters, I think, because it sheds light, or some light at least, on those questions. What should our church look like after the lockdown? What should we be doing? How should we go about our business? To begin to answer those questions, let's wind back a bit. Let's wind back 10 days from the festival to Ascension Day. The disciples had got used to the resurrected Jesus popping up here and there, if you could ever get used to that. He'd been eating with them, walking with them, talking with them. And they knew that he was definitely physically present with them, but he wasn't physically present all the time. But then, on what we now know as Ascension Day, he goes for the last time. He's no longer physically with them. He's taken up out of their sight, you remember. And before he goes, he says basically two things to his disciples. The first is, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait there for the Holy Spirit. Don't leave the place you are living, if you like. We don't know if any of them had difficult childcare issues. Don't leave Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Wait because you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Actually, he says they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So it was a new beginning that baptism represents. And he says that that is going to give them power. That's the second thing, power to do something. Power to be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, which was the area around Jerusalem, in Samaria to the north, and then to the very ends of the earth. They are to go, he says, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus had commanded. They're going to receive the Spirit, and they're going to be witnesses for Jesus. That's the nub of it. And they do exactly what they're told. At the beginning of our narrative today, there they all are, together, waiting in Jerusalem. Biblical lockdown of a sort. The Spirit comes upon them, and we know the rest of what happens. The amazing speech from Peter, retelling the truths of one of the ancient prophets. God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And indeed, on that very day, many did call on the name of the Lord and were saved. Now, we shouldn't shy away from that language of being saved. It's not very fashionable. But it means becoming the part of the family of God forever, instead of the alternative from which they are saved. And whatever gloss we try to put on it, or whatever gloss other people try to put on it, The Bible never describes that alternative in anything except the most dire terms. So, people were saved that very day, and that was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And that process has continued to this day. Jesus told his disciples that they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were to take his good news to the very ends of the earth. They were to make disciples and baptize them. Think now how the gospel came to Britain, probably first among the Celts and then from Rome itself, and then down through the centuries of turbulence and war and all the rest of it to us. That process, that very process, started right there with Jesus' instructions at Ascension, the lockdown in Jerusalem, and then the empowering with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit poured out at that first Pentecost. So in a weird sort of way, when we ask that question of all our six questions interviewees, how did you become a Christian? The answer to it is right there in our reading. And that is so for any of us who would say, yes, I am a follower of Christ. How did I become a Christian? Well, because of what happened at Ascension and at Pentecost that very first time. Now, all of that is one very good reason why this reading matters to us today. It gives us a long perspective on the work of God in each of us individually. But there's more to it than that. Through the whole of this year up to Lent, you'll remember that we were working our way through the early chapters of the Book of Acts and looking at how the Spirit was at work in that early Christian community, and thinking about how we too could be in step with the Spirit, how we too could be fired up by the Spirit, just like that community was. We've been praying for the Spirit to be amongst us here and now and with power. Now, of course, we find our situation very different to how it was at the start of the year. We're in lockdown, not together physically as the early disciples were, but together in all sorts of ways, together virtually like this, together on Zoom meetings with some people now, together across the garden fence, together by phone, together in all sorts of ways. In some ways more closely than we were when we could be a gathered community. I think it's time to ask the Spirit again to come among us with power, to fire us up, to take the gospel to every nook and cranny of Stapleford, into South Cambridgeshire and beyond, to the very ends of the earth. Because we should make no mistake that that is within the Spirit's power. He can do way more than we can ask for, more even than we can imagine. Wouldn't it be wonderful to come out of this lockdown, probably in just a few weeks' time, and find ourselves clinging on as we ride an amazing wave of the gospel, the like of which we've never dreamt of? That's the sort of church we could be as we come out of lockdown. It is, I think, what we should most earnestly desire and pray for. Why so? Well, the answer is not fashionable nor popular in a pluralistic world. But we've seen this week and so many times during lockdown the real power of unvarnished truth. So why should we desire an amazing outpouring of the Spirit and the gospel spreading like wildfire through our communities? Think, if you would, of those you love. Think of friends down the road. Think of neighbours across the street. Think of everyone and anyone you know who is not yet a follower of Jesus Christ. Remember that it is those who call on the name of the Lord who will be saved. That's what our readings tell us. That's what Jesus himself tells us in the Gospels. And for that to happen, for everyone to call on the name of the Lord, we need the action of the Spirit. And under his power and his direction, we need to be out in our community proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ.